All right, welcome to another Transformations Through Running podcast. Super excited to have another one brought to you. This is actually going to be our 20th episode and wrapping up season number 2. Kind of crazy how quickly these go. We're going to have some fun here. Now, my other show that I've been doing for at least 9 years at this time, called Exploring Mind and Body for Terrestrial Radio, is a bit more serious. So you might notice, if you ever had a chance to check those out, those are on 30 minutes on the dot. They're all, well, for the most part, if you're listening to the newer ones, I suppose I've done some podcasting with that show in the past, but it's a bit more structured. It's a bit more professional. I think this is more of a live type of show, and I like to have a bit more fun, I think. Now, today, Dorothy and I had a really fun conversation. She's like, what if I interviewed you? And I thought, what a great idea. Why not? I haven't had the chance to jump on here and be interviewed. And I think sometimes it's fun to switch it up and see what comes out. So we don't have a planned show specifically. We just thought it'd be fun to come on here, wrap up season number 2, and share some of my background with you as the host of the show. So we hope you enjoy a slightly different format. This is Drew, and you're listening to the Transformations Through Running podcast. All right, before we jump into the interview, just a quick word about our monthly membership. This will be our sponsored program for this show. Our monthly membership is where we teach you how to save money in the kitchen and how to save time in the grocery store and save money in the kitchen. That's something that we specialize in. You know what? One of the things that our members first tell us is that they can't believe how much money they're saving because they know exactly what to buy, like what products to buy at the grocery store. And it's not going to waste because we provide recipes as well. So the way we teach our program is that you create meals in batches. That's something that we can talk about together in the future. But if you're batching, if you're creating larger meals, if you're separating them in different ways, we can actually help you save time in the kitchen. So it doesn't feel like you're living in the kitchen or always creating meals, which is something, one of our best compliments is that I can't believe how much time I'm saving in the kitchen, which is why I'm bringing that up to you. So if you need some help meal planning, we teach more plant-based type of meals to help with digestion and help increase energy as well. So if you like some more details, shoot us a message. We're on facebook.com/trueformlife, instagram.com/drewtadia, and our main website is trueformlife.com. You can reach us on any one of those platforms, and you can find out more details about what we do there. All right, excited to get this show rocking. Thanks for joining us, Dorothy.
Oh, this is pretty exciting, Drew.
Are you nervous?
I've never interviewed you before. You've interviewed me quite a few times, but I've never interviewed you.
Well, I think we've done co-shows. So those of you that might have not have heard us talk together, Dorothy comes on Exploring Mind and Body quite a bit. You can listen to that on Spotify, iTunes, number of different podcasting platforms. But I bring on Dorothy at least once a month, and we kind of share that interview together and share our own insights and experiences.
But I have to say, Drew takes more of a driver's seat, and I kind of co-pilot. So I am going to put on my driving seat gloves here. And I'm going to just take over on you, Drew.
This is fun. I've been encouraging Dorothy to get her own podcast going. I know it's a lot of work and a lot of time, but I think she'd be great at it because she loves to talk. I guess we'll find out. So this is a sneak peek, possibly, of what Dorothy has in store.
All right, Drew, let's get started.
Let's do it.
Well, welcome to the show, Drew.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we got a fun, packed, full show for you guys today. But Drew, before we get started here into our main topic, why don't you give our listeners a better idea about yourself? Maybe tell them how you got into radio, how you got into podcasting. And I think it's super cool that we get to know you as the host a little bit better because, you know, you're always coming up with the questions and interviewing other people. But now we get to learn more about you.
All right. So for me, I grew up as an athlete. That's what I did. It was my identity. It's what I became. I loved every sport. Then I got into high school and I specialized in a few different sports, football, baseball, and basketball. And then from high school, I had to pick one of them because one of my dreams was always to play college sports, and I was the best at baseball. So I traveled throughout baseball, or throughout university, junior college, university. I was able to play at a high level from university. I signed with a professional contract. I traveled all around the U.S. from Florida to California. And then I went out to Australia and Germany. A lot of people don't know they even have baseball out there, but they do have professional baseball in those different places. So I traveled about 10 years all over the world, and that's where my passion of fitness and nutrition came from, because to be honest with you, I wasn't a great athlete. And everyone's like, oh, really? And it's true. I had to find an edge. And I think at any level, regardless of what you're doing, you have to find what you're better at or how you can get better. And for me, it was being in the weight room, being the first there, the last to leave. It was teaching myself about nutrition, how to heal my body, reduce stress. So basically everything I learned back then is what I teach now.
Andrew, I know a lot of people see like traveling stars or traveling athletes as being so, so glamorous, but tell us a little bit more details about being a traveling athlete or an athlete on the road.
I suppose, Dorothy, you have the inside track about the real details of what's going on. Like, it's a really tough lifestyle. A lot of people say, why did you decide to move on? And it wasn't a conscious decision. There's a lot of things that happened, and I feel like everything happens for a reason, but there's a lot of things that happened that pointed me into a different direction. But it's just not a glamorous life. So consider about 10 years of your life living out of a suitcase. And like at one point in time, I'm in California, I pick up the phone and they say, you have to be in Texas in 2 days. So I pack my bags and I drive 30 hours, and then I show up at a training camp. And they're incredible athletes that I'm competing against. So stress is very high. Intensity is very high. You could lose your job in a day, and then you're traveling back 30 hours. You're sitting on a bus, for example. Like, we tried to sleep on buses. We curled up on the floor just to get a few hours of sleep while we're going in between games and seasons. And I would jump on one flight, and I remember I was in either the U.S., I flew to Canada for a couple of weeks, then I jumped on a flight to Australia. It was just, and then I got off the plane in Australia, and they drove me to the game.
Oh my gosh, and they expected you to play that game.
Not just play, but perform well. Like,
your best.
They're paying you to be somewhere to play. You're expected to perform well no matter where you went. And then those foreign countries were a little bit different. The stakes were even higher because they're only allowed a certain number of, they call them foreigners. You can only have two per team. So they put a lot of time and effort into the ones that they bring over.
So what kept you motivated and inspired throughout all these challenges? Because I know a lot of people would probably think, that's too much, that's too challenging, I'm out. So what kept you in the game, kept playing and kept going back for more?
Probably the challenge. I love the challenge. Obviously, as an entrepreneur, we go through challenges every single day. But it was just the love of the game. Like, I loved, you know, it's funny that I grew up as an athlete. I always say I grew up as an athlete because I didn't love one sport. I loved baseball, football, and basketball. I watched all of them. I played all of them. We won championships in all of them. I was the captain of the team in all of them in high school. But baseball wasn't my favorite sport. I probably would have picked football or even basketball if I was better at them. But I knew that baseball would give me my best chance to play longer and continue to follow my passion and dream. So that's what I did. I chose baseball. And as the years went by, I began to love it. If I wasn't playing, I was watching it. And I wasn't just watching it. I was studying it. I was studying the different individual batters who I really enjoyed watching. I was studying the pitchers. I was watching how people were coached. So it was really, I had this cable channel, and someone hooked me up with a cable channel where I could get like 10 different games a day.
So, and you watched them all?
I watched often. And then when I moved to LA after I graduated university to play, I was trying to find another league to play in. I practiced 3 times a day. And then when I wasn't practicing, I played in 4 different leagues. So I was playing at least four to five games a week. And I loved the pine tar. I had 25 wooden bats that I carried around with me. I had a bucket of balls. I just loved everything about it. So it was easy for me. Like, a lot of people would go home to their girlfriend, for example. I would stay till the sun went down and just hit balls an hour after hour. And it was just my love of getting better at whatever it is I'm doing.
So, Drew, how did you go from an athlete and loving the game so much and pouring, you know, all of your time into being an athlete, how did that transpire or into podcasting? Like, how did you go from that world into radio and podcasting? Where was that transition?
Transition was I had to feed myself. So I always say, like, at that professional level, they pay you enough to keep you hungry. They don't, you know, there's not stacks of cash unless you're on TV at any level. So when it comes to sports, so I had to find a way to feed myself, and I was really good at making my own programs. I was making programs, fitness and nutrition programs for my teammates, depending on what level we're at. And that's what I started to do during off seasons. And then there came a time where I began to do that a bit longer. So for example, I was supposed to go back to Europe, and the contract fell through. You have to do your own negotiations. You have to come up with a compromise. We couldn't do that. At the last minute, they kind of changed their mind. And then I didn't agree with what they wanted. So I said, I'm going to sit out and find a better contract. And that's when I started to get into radio, and I got into more full-time fitness training. And then I started writing a book. That's just you got something to say there?
No. Oh, I would just love for you to share your story about the first time you entered the radio station and that experience. Maybe that experience with rejection or reality.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I suppose it's important to understand that I was at heart, I'm an introvert, which a lot of people are like, nah, you're not. Like, you don't have a problem going out and talking to people. But at a younger age, I had a really hard time talking to people. And when I got into business, I got into had more ability to go and have conversations or be in large crowds. But it's easy for me to sit alone and work. I'm happy with that. Or sit at home and watch the game. Like, that's fine. I don't need to be in a big party and have a lot of people around. So for me to go, I basically had to go into the radio station and pitch them on an idea. So I said to them, I'll trade you my expert tips. And I'll trade you my expert tips for some free airtime.
And how'd that go? What happened?
The producer kind of laughed at me, and he's like, doesn't work like that, son. This is the price list. And I'm like, radio, like, I can't afford a price list. Like, I can barely afford to feed myself. What am I supposed to do with that? So then I left, and then I came back, and I said, I got a better idea. How about, at first it was like a few minutes. This time it was like a minute or 30 seconds of airtime for an expert tip. And he's like, no, it doesn't work like that. So I just kept going back to him. And he said, if you talk to him to this day, I asked him, why you let me have a show? And he said, because once I realized you weren't going to go away, I had to figure out something for you.
So that... what do you call that? That persistence and must come from your playing days, right?
Yeah, without question. I got rejected and turned away from more teams than I could possibly count when I was trying to play at higher levels. At any level. Like, when I was in high school, they said I wasn't good enough to play college. So that was my goal, to prove them wrong. When I was in college, they said I wasn't good enough for a university. So I played in university, and then I went to professional, and like, it was just that driving force for maybe to prove people wrong or to continue to be persistent and not take no for an answer. I took that to the professional world, and that's how I was able to get on radio.
So Drew, I'm gonna kind of let the cat out of the bag here and announce to all our listeners that running isn't really something that you've enjoyed. Yeah. Running isn't your favorite thing to do. So I want to know, you know, you talked about your love for baseball, you talked about basketball and football. So why did you decide to do a running podcast if it's not something you're truly, you know, inspired by?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm inspired by people. I suppose that could make that statement very clear, that people do inspire me every day. And I thought that for the running podcast in particular, just to take a step back for a moment, the reason I don't love running, and any athlete that played a sport will tell you that running was a punishment. So anytime we got in trouble, you're like, hit the track. Anytime that you did something you shouldn't have done, you know, anytime you played horrible, you're going to run. So it was always a punishment. So even that's been ingrained for me for years. So now it's sometimes a challenge to go out and run because I'm like, I didn't do anything wrong. Like, why do I have to go run?
Even if I ask you to go for a run sometimes, that you act like it's a punishment.
Yeah, it's just you know, the things that I love about running is getting outside. I love people in the community. I love being in shape or getting in shape, and then accomplishing goals like pushing through pushing through challenging runs or going up hills and like not giving up. Like that's something that inspires me to push on. But for the show in particular, I wanted to be a part of a community. I mentioned this on a couple of shows in the past, but I just saw SBRC and their incredible community. I wanted to contribute to the community. I wanted to be a part of something, and I thought, this is how I can contribute. I'm good at podcasting. I've done radio for years. Why not set something up with this group? And I mean, we'll expand. I'd love to be a part of the community, but we'll bring on other guests from other areas. And I'm excited. We're for season three. We have different types of guests coming on. They might be a bit further away. They might not be running specific, but it'll all be related to some running in some way. So I just love to hear stories. They inspire me in so many different ways. And the ability to meet people in all walks of life is something that keeps me going.
So Drew, you talked about like that you like to be outside and you like people. And why else, like what else draws you to run? Why do you run still, even if it's something that isn't your favorite thing?
Yeah, I really think that being in shape mm-hmm. really is something that drives me. Like we run a health and fit, like a nutrition and fitness business. It's what we do. Getting out there and setting goals and finding ways to accomplish what you set your sights on is so important. And I think that if we don't set goals, if we don't have something to aspire to, then we're just kind of, you know, wishy-washy through life. Like if you look at someone that has a goal and is excited to accomplish something, they live life so much differently than people are like, well, maybe it'll happen one day. And as you know, Dorothy, maybe our listeners don't, I always say that one day never comes. If you don't set your sights on something, if you don't set a timeline of when you're going to accomplish this and how you're going to get there, it's simply not going to happen. And I think living your life inspired is a much more inspiring way to live your life than just kind of, like, I want to play the game. Yeah. I want to be in the game of life. I don't want to sit in the sidelines and watch it go by.
And I'm going to ask you a bit more about goals later in the show here, Drew. But I want to know, and I think our listeners would enjoy hearing about this too. I want to know about your most challenging run.
Tell us
about that. Because you aren't really somebody who registers for runs, really. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the whole registering for runs, like I might have a slightly different perspective than our running community, but I'm not like a big person that, because as I said, like an introvert, like I can go out and run, I can go push myself and feel very accomplished without a medal or without crossing a line. And I feel like that's changing a bit, being a part of the running community a bit more. But for me, I went out, I haven't ran in, like I didn't run in a couple of years. Like maybe I'd ran for 15 minutes or 20 minutes just to stay in shape every once in a while. But someone said you couldn't go do a 10K. So I hadn't run in a few years. I don't know if I'd ever done a 10K at that point in time. And I'd done a couple of fun runs, 5Ks. And of course, remember that we're in shape when we work out on a regular basis, like daily. And they said, you can't do a 10K. And I said, yeah, I can. So
if somebody, what you're saying is if somebody says you can't do something, that motivates you to get it done and do it.
It's true. It's funny. You remind me of Brian from a past show. And he, one of his good friends, put out a challenge for him, and which is how he got into running. And he found his passion. That was on a past show you guys can check out. But yeah, for sure. If someone tells me I can't do something, then I definitely...
That fuels the fire.
You betcha. So I suppose be careful what you challenge me to do. I suppose I should be careful saying that out loud. But for me, so I ran the 10K and it was a bit of a challenge. I hadn't run that far in as long as I can remember. And it was a challenge to get through. I think I finished around an hour. And then from there, it was maybe a couple months later and the idea of a half marathon came up. And I thought, well, I can run a half marathon. Like, I really feel like if you're in shape, most of it's mental. That's how I think of it. And I feel like I have a strong mental game as well. So I said, I'm going to go run a half marathon. And I was thinking about it for a few days. And then I talked to a few people. Like, no, you can't do that without training. Like, it's just not possible. Like, people don't do that. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I can run for a couple hours. I felt like I could run forever. But now that I run more often, I realize the challenges of it. But I was like, I can run for 2 or 3 hours. 3 hours without stopping. I don't have a problem with that. So we're in, consider this, we're in Alberta in a rural community, and it's a small town. So to run any long distance, you have to run in gravel roads. And so I'm running down these country roads.
Alone.
Yeah, I was definitely alone. So I'm running down these country roads, and I hit about 10K, and I'm feeling good. And, you know, there's cars driving by, and there's dirt and dust, and like it's not great. It was a bit cool. Like, there's a bit of snow on the ground, and I was determined to finish this half marathon. And, you know, 10K, I was feeling good. I was like, I can handle this. Like, 10K, I'm almost halfway there. This is going to be a breeze.
So this wasn't a registered race, no. Just in case you're wondering. This was just Drew waking up one day and saying, oh, I'm going to run a half marathon today.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, I'm going to do this today. I can't do it. So, and I do this every once in a while to myself. Like, I trained to do some muscle-ups one time. I couldn't do one. And I trained to do other things that were really challenging. But I just thought, like, one day you get something in your head, and like, I'm going to make that happen. So here I am running through these dirt roads. It's a bit cool. I overdressed as I'm sweating. So I'm taking off some layers, and I'm running. And then, you know, I don't know where I got to, maybe 15K in, and my hands started to swell up. And I'm like, what is this feeling? Like, I've never experienced this before. And then my feet and ankles, they started to feel weird. Like, they started to swell up. And I'm like, what is happening? And then I start to, like, these crazy thoughts started to go into my head. And I should probably tell you, I'm picturing this as I'm talking, but I remember running through this one farm, and I'm trying to find my way back because I've ran far enough one way. And I figure if I run far enough one way, I can go back the other way. So I run through this farmyard, and I figure that I'm going to get back to the main road, and the main road isn't there. So now I'm lost, and I don't like, I have a pretty good idea of where the house is, like where I live, but I don't know how to get there, like what road to take to get back there. And so I'm like a bit worried, and I'm parched. I didn't bring any water or anything. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. And I'm like, what have I gotten myself into? So I found, it's so funny. I found a little candy in my pocket. I just found like this. It was maybe from a restaurant. I don't know what I was doing in my short pocket, in my shorts, in my pocket. But I pulled out this candy, and I just remember how good it tastes. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the best candy I've ever had in my entire life.
So that's what got you through. This little tiny peppermint candy.
Well, I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle of nowhere. There's farmyards and there's
trees.
Well, there's trees and there's like pasture. Like, what do you call those? Like open fields. I'm in the middle of nowhere and I have to get back. There's no way for me to get back other than run. And I'm not going to walk back. It would have taken hours to walk back. So I got to run. I actually had these crazy thoughts going on in my head, like trying to pull over a car and like wave down a car and be like, hey, can you drive me back to town? Or I literally thought about knocking on like a farmer's door and be like, would you mind driving me back to town?
So did you knock on someone's door?
No, I didn't. But you know what? It's that internal drive, the internal passion of like, I said I was going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I was absolutely, utterly exhausted in every possible way. And I just put one foot in front of the other. And of course, you get these crazy thoughts like, what did I get myself into? What a horrible idea this was. Why did I do it? But
so that's when you realize the importance of training for a run. This is not something you would recommend, correct?
No, I wouldn't recommend it. And I would never do it again. It's a horrible idea. And anyone I talked to beforehand told me it was a horrible idea. But it didn't change my mindset of I got to get this done. So at any rate, I did. I actually ran around blocks because I got back. I actually turned around before the halfway mark, and I was like, well, I'll just run around town a little bit. So I ended up getting back to town, like dragging myself. And I was probably I was a bit embarrassed. Like I was, when cars were driving by, I'm like, I wonder what they think of me, because I'm sure, like I was guessing, like I was like half dragging my body back into town. And I was wondering like what cars were thinking when they were passing by. Like I was embarrassed. I was like, I probably look like have the worst form ever. And then I'm like half alive, just dragging my body back to my house so I could collapse on the floor.
Well, when I saw Drew after this endeavor, I thought something serious had happened to him. It's like, what happened? Exhaustion is an understatement, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a bad idea. You know, but I think you go and you set yourself, you set goals for yourself, and you live inspired, and you believe in yourself. And more than anything, I believe that I could do it. And I think with anything that you look at, you have to believe in yourself, and you have to, like, when I talk about setting goals, I'm going to set a plan. Like, we're going to talk about setting a plan and having people around you to make that happen, but which I didn't have. So if I were ever to do that again, of course I would create a better plan and feel more accomplished. You know, something was interesting is that after this half marathon, I ran 2 days later. I wanted to see if I could run a 10K. I was like, I wonder if, because I really believe that food heals, and we take a lot of time and effort into what we put in our bodies. And I believe that food heals. We believe food prevents, food cures. And I felt like, as an athlete, as someone who works out on a regular basis, that I should be able to go and put my body through a whole lot of pain and then get back out and do it in the next day. And so I went out and I ran a 10K that 2 days later, and I got a decent time. I don't remember what it was, but I was pretty happy that I could get through a 10K after damaging my body to that level and putting proper food, you know, stretching, rolling, eating properly, and recovering to go and get out there and do it again.
So, Drew, in addition to recovery and to food, you'd mentioned briefly the importance of community and having a group of supportive people. And I'm just curious, there are, you know, lots of running communities around the area here in Redondo Beach. What was it about SBRC that you liked and kind of attracted you to the group?
Well, I think that was the point. Like, it seemed like a real community. Like, you look around, and a lot, like, it's even today's day and age, it's 2020. A lot of businesses don't have Facebook pages. And teaching business, talking business, and marketing is a passion of mine as well. And it's just so shocking to me that you don't have social media pages. And we found SBRC's social media, like their group page.
And it was on fire.
It was crazy. Like, trying to keep up with their page and follow all the posts is insane. And I just thought, I got a chance to read some stories and all the people that got medals and they were accomplishing their goals, or they broke a record, their own PR, whatever it was. And I was like, wow, this is something that, and like with anything in life, you have to find that supportive community. You have to find your tribe. You have to find like minds. And I just thought this was so cool. And it wasn't just the running community. Like I still wouldn't call myself a runner, even though I go out and run. Like, if you look at this community, there's real runners there. Like, they're doing some real big things in the running world. And for me, it's like, I wanted to be around people that are inspiring and people that are encouraging and people that are setting and achieving goals. So maybe more than anything, that was what was appealing to me.
So just one more question for you, Drew, here before we wrap up. And as a professional athlete for many, many years, what's one piece of advice that you could give other athletes or the runners in our SBRC community here? One piece of advice to achieve to success and reach your goals?
I think it's, you have to set your sights on something. Like, you talk to anyone in all walks of life, whether it's business or fitness or whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is, and you ask them what they want, most people won't give you an answer because they haven't decided what it is they want. The running community might be slightly different because they're working towards, like, I really want to run the LA Marathon, for example. I really want to make a Boston time, which is fantastic. But in most cases, people don't know what it is they want. So that's the very first thing you have to decide, is what it is that you want to achieve. Because if you don't know what it is that you want to achieve, then there's no possible way to get to it. You just kind of fall into things like, oh, you know, and it happens all the time. And, you know, I certainly don't want to put anyone down here, but I talk to some friends, for example, like friends from high school. And I'm a questions person. Like, why did you, like, this is years later. And I ask them, and we go to hang out one night and say, well, how did you get into that job? I'm like, oh, you know, like, it just seemed like everyone else was doing it. You know, like, do you like that job? Like, nah, I don't really like it, but it pays my bills. And I'm like, you're a grown adult. You have children and you got bills and a wife. And you're doing something that doesn't inspire you every day. It doesn't light you up. You're just doing it to get paid. So for me, it's like instead of just walking through life and falling into things, you have a clear plan of what it is you want to accomplish. And then you set a plan, like how am I going to reach this plan? How am I going to reach this goal? You set out your plan and then you decide what obstacles those obstacles are going to hold you back. And then you come up with a plan to get through those obstacles. You find like minds, you find a mentor or a coach, and then you follow a proven path to success. And I could go through hundreds of examples of how this worked, not just in my life, but in the top, in the most successful people in the world, whether that's an athlete or whether that's an entrepreneur, and they follow the same process. So all you have to do is follow these steps and be patient.
That's the hardest thing, isn't it? Patience. It gets me every time.
The hardest thing with patience is that you're going to achieve your goals if you're in it for the long run. I believed in my core that you can have and be whatever it is you want in this life. You can have, be, and do. As long as you're willing to sacrifice, you're willing to dedicate yourself to your craft or your goal, and you're willing to be patient. In most cases, it's that patience that really, you know, that really sets us off. It's that patience of like, oh, this is never going to work, or I've been doing this for too long and I haven't reached my goal, so what's the point? And I think that's the time where you see your results. We know from the last few minutes of a set or the last few minutes of a workout is where you get your most results, but we give up. And we don't push through.
Isn't it said somewhere that like a certain percentage, or a big percentage, I should say, of people quit when they're just so close? Like, I see that happening a lot. You know, you're almost there, and then you give up. You're so close.
Without question, it happens all the time. And it's like we think to ourselves, and we see from the outside in, and you see someone working so hard or for years, and they put in all this time and effort, and they're like, nah, I'm done. And you're like, how do you know, like, one more day, one more week or month, you could have grasped it. You could have reached your goal that you've worked so hard for, and you just stop. Like, I could never understand that.
Yeah, I always like to think of it as plants, which might be a little strange, but you know, you plant the seed and then you have to nurture it, make sure it's in the right soil, make sure it's in the right spot to get the right amount of sun, then you water it and you take care of it, and it takes all of that nurturing, all of that time, and to finally get it to grow, you know, and then you get to pick the fruit or pick the flowers, you know.
That's a great way to look at it. That's exactly what we're talking about, being around a supportive environment and realizing that those people in your life are going to either push you forward or hold you back. And I think we could all do a better effort at eliminating those people that drag us down and finding more people that push us forward, because that's ultimately going to decide whether we succeed or we don't in this life.
Mm. Well, Drew, I'm sure we could go on and talk for another hour or so, but we have reached the end of our show here. And as many times as I heard your story about the half marathon, or heard you getting into podcasting after a baseball career, I always enjoy hearing those stories again. And I hope our listeners enjoyed hearing them for the first time and getting to know you a little bit more.
Thanks, Dorothy. I had an absolute blast. Thank you so much for being such a lovely host.
Oh, it was so much fun. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to question you for a change.
Absolutely. All right, that's going to wrap things up for this edition of Transformations Through Running. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sticking around till the end, listening, downloading, however you are contributing, if you're on social media and sharing this show, if you're listening and telling your friends about it, whatever it is, we so much appreciate it. I couldn't be more grateful. Quick shout out to Anne, who often tells me how much she's enjoying the shows. That means so much. And Ed as well. He listens to all the shows and he's got great ideas for me. It really helps. Like I gotta tell you, we talk about finding like minds in a supportive community, and putting this show together, it was a bit challenging, more challenging than my other show, because the running community is new to me. So without the community, without people telling me how much they're enjoying the show, and just those little conversations, they really mean a lot, and they keep the show alive and going. So this is wrapping up our season number 2, which is kind of crazy. I can't believe this is episode 20. We're going to push on. We're going to launch season 3. I already have 2 or 3 guests lined up that I'm very excited to share their amazing stories. So I hope you're ready and excited for season 3. We have some more giveaways coming up. If you want to check those out, or if you want to pay attention to when those are coming up next, follow us on social media. You can find us at facebook.com/trueformlife or on Instagram. We post on our stories. We post on our pages, instagram.com/drewtaddea. So those are always fun and exciting. We're looking for different sponsors to maybe reach out or come forward or reach out to see if they want to do some fun giveaways. And of course, we help with advertising a bit and letting our running community know about what they have going on. So it's a nice little partnership and another way to reach out and find more people and businesses to work with within the community. So that's something we're grateful for as well. But just keep pushing on, like keep setting goals, keep achieving. I hope you got something out of that interview when it comes to setting goals. That's something that Dorothy and I are adamant about. We set weekly goals, we set monthly goals, we set finance goals, nutrition goals, fitness goals, business goals, and that's what drives us. And like a lot of times people come up to me and they say, how are you able to design a supplement? How are you able to write these books? I think I'm on my 4th book now, you know, and it's these goals. These are the things that wake us up. Like those goals wake me up in the morning and they determine how my day is going to go, how inspired I am to push through and to create a new product or to reach a new audience, whatever it is. So I just want to thank you for being here, being along this journey and along this ride with us. It's so much fun. I'm having an absolute blast. I feel like it's just begun, not just this podcast, but this life and being a bit newer to the LA community and meeting so many amazing people. And there's just going to be more to come. So if you'd like to check out our monthly membership, that's going to be at trueformlife.com. Again, a couple things I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Two things that we specialize in is helping you save time in the kitchen. So consider how much more time you'd have to get your runs in if you save time in the kitchen creating your healthy meals. You'd have much more time to get out there and get your runs in. And then saving money at the grocery store. I know signing up for all these runs can be expensive, so why not save some money at the grocery store and put that money towards your next run? Shoot us a message. Oh, that's a tough one. Shoot me a message on any of those social media platforms I mentioned or on trueformlife.com, and we can let you know how we can make that work. Once again, thank you so much for being here. I hope to catch you on the next season and the next show. This is Drew, and you've been listening to the Transformations Through Running Podcast.